test, 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 test.
Our campaign is all about freedom, prosperity, and peace. Very strong advocate of following very strictly the rule of law, the Constitution of the United States.
Freedom.
The founders would be ashamed of us for what we're putting up with. In this great campaign for freedom and liberty. Thank you very much.
You're listening to and watching The Freedom Message live with Stephen Vincent. It's www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, www.bbsradio.com. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Message of Freedom by Steve Doerr. Hi, and I'm Stephen Vincent, your host for The Freedom Message. Thank you so much for tuning in to this revolution in broadcasting. And I'm very pleased to, privileged really, to be bringing this to you. As the Ron Paul Revolution progresses, now we move into the new media revolution, pushing the old media aside and taking our place at the forefront. Thank you so much for being a part of this historic movement and this historic development in the movement, the new media revolution and the development of our own media so that we can get the word out on what's really happening. No spin, no bias here, just giving it to you as it is. And I hope that you enjoy the show. Now, in addition to being able to view, you can still listen to the show as a radio broadcast by choosing the Listen tab up in the upper right-hand corner of your screen on my homepage, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And you can also still call into the show to participate, 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. So today we have quite a lot to report on. The first segment I'm going to report on for you is going to be a whole spate of Ron Paul commercials that have come out, some official, some unofficial, some in development, and we'll have a look at them and a little evaluation of these commercials that we have. The first one is an official commercial, which apparently has aired, and I'm going to go ahead and play that for you.
Well, I don't always agree with Ron Paul, but he's honest, and you always know where he stands.
Actually, I agree with him most of the time. I really do.
He wants to get out of Iraq pronto.
Cut government spending.
Protect personal privacy, personal freedom.
Live free or die, New Hampshire.
I'm undeclared, but I'm going to go Republican and vote for Ron Paul.
Oh, I'm going to vote for him.
Look, the man's a doctor. He understands the health care best.
He's the only one that's really talking sense to the people.
He's catching on, I'm telling you.
So that commercial actually got quite a lot of flack, that commercial got quite a lot of flack, my first impression of it was, wow, this really isn't a very good commercial at all, until I learned that those are actual supporters and not actors. Having been an actor previously and taken a whole lot of acting lessons, I really couldn't believe how bad the acting was until I realized that actually they aren't actors. They are actual Ron Paul supporters who, are apparently given lines or wrote their own lines, perhaps. But I think the general consensus on that is that it could be a whole lot better and that it comes off pretty wooden and just a little bit cheesy and unprofessional, and it certainly has caught quite a deal of flack, so it's understandable that commercial is going to be withdrawn. So let me go ahead and play the next one that I have here for you, and this is another official commercial from the campaign.
And cut government spending. In Congress, I've never voted for an unbalanced budget. Home from Iraq immediately and cut government spending that passes. Deficit spending threatens the dollar and our future prosperity. Once we stop wasting trillions overseas, we can cut the budget and still help people who need it. And still help people.
Okay. So that is... the commercial that should be replacing the one that we saw previously. And it's somewhat better, but I personally, it doesn't grab me either. I'm glad that we're looking at Ron Paul, but it's just very one-dimensional. There's no editing in it whatsoever. There's nothing that motivates the eye. You really have to, it's really very oral. In other words, you have to listen to it and get what Ron is saying there. And I didn't feel that the message in that particular clip is very strong. With all of the material that's available, you would think that we could use perhaps some pieces from the debate, some cuts from key moments in the debate. I think that would be much more effective. some television appearances. There's material, say, from the Jack Cafferty piece asking, you know, shouldn't we maybe be listening to what Ron Paul has to say? I think that's stuff that could be used. I just don't see the one-dimensional approach here as being very, very effective. And, you know, the makeup job on Ron is just not good there. It just doesn't make him look good at all. I mean, so there's a lot of room for improvement here. You know, I'm just being honest. I'm just being frank and upfront. I think that when there is something that needs to be changed and something that needs to be improved, it's incumbent upon us to speak up and say so. As anyone knows, I'm as supportive as one could possibly be about the Ron Paul candidacy, and that's why I choose to offer criticism from time to time, because if you love somebody, you're willing to point out to them their weak points or the things that could be improved, things that could be done better, and it's truly out of love that I offer any comments of criticism. So let's go ahead to the next clip. Now, this is something that was created by Bill Dumas, and it's a concept that he's been working on. Basically, the concept is, I am Ron Paul. And this is sort of a test clip. This is not done. This is not finished. This is just simply a dry, you know, a test of the concept. So have a look at this concept in development. Bear in mind, concept in development, not finished. And I'm pleased to kind of give you the sneak preview here on this first live video broadcast of the Freedom Message. Here we go.
I'm a law student.
I am a constitutionalist.
I am a constitutionalist.
I am Ron Paul.
I am Ron Paul.
I am Ron Paul.
I am Ron Paul.
I'm Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve.
I am Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Okay. Sorry about that. There's a little funniness to the audio portion of this setup, so working out a few things. But in any case, somewhat of a better approach. I think there's some editing in there, and okay, hold on just a second. Good. So, and I like the I Am Ron Paul approach. I like the involvement of volunteers, of people in the piece. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the people and why they support Ron Paul. Maybe one or two less people and a little bit more from each of them. But overall, an interesting concept. I'm glad that they're developing it. And we're going to continue to work on that. So I'm told that we have a caller, so we're going to go ahead and take the call right now. Hi, I understand we have Todd on the line. Are you there, Todd?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling into the Freedom Message. What can I do for you?
Hey, no problem. Well, I was really interested in going to the Jay Leno show, and I want to see, I'm sure a lot of people even know, or want to know how to get there, how to get tickets and all that.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Jay Leno, Ron Paul will be on the Jay Leno show tomorrow. And basically, if you want to go wait in line at 5 a.m. with everybody else right there at the studio, NBC Studios, we're going to be waiting to get tickets. And each person can get two tickets, so you'll get one and then one for a friend or for somebody else who needs one. And the more people
that tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning, 5 a.m., 5:30, we're waiting in line. For tickets, I'll be there sort of catching the event live and getting my own ticket as well. And the more people that show up to do that, the more people we will have in the show to offer support for Dr. Paul. So I guess, will I see you then, Todd?
I am planning to be there, yes.
Absolutely. Well,
so I just had a question. Do you know if there's any regulations on wearing T-shirts or anything like that?
No, I don't believe there's any regulations on what you can wear. I don't think they'll be showing the audience very much. I know that they won't let you bring in cellular telephones or any kind of a portable electronic device, cameras, etc., laptops, nothing like that.
No megaphone?
No megaphone, sorry. But if there's enough of us, we'll sort of be our own megaphone. You know, back in early April, we really caused quite a stir. We basically caused an event by attending the taping of the Bill Maher show.
I remember that.
Yeah, we had about 40 people inside and about 60 people out front. And our presence there really opened Bill Maher's eyes to Ron Paul. It really turned him on to... Yeah.
You've heard about the whole 9/11 truth thing that happened, I think it was a week ago.
Yeah, I heard about
Bill Maher show.
So... you know, it just goes to prove that you can definitely have an effect. So I think that we're going to definitely have an effect tomorrow at the Jay Leno show.
Well, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing.
Oh.
And, you know, I was actually at the march in L.A. last Saturday representing Ron Paul, and I was surprised to see a lot of Ron Paul people out there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They were organized.
But the only thing is we're all scattered. If we were united, you know, one group, we could achieve a lot. So you know, you're out there in the forefront, hopefully getting the message out so we will get together.
Well, it seems like we are getting pretty organized, and we're definitely having an effect with what we do, and there's no question about that. So I'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow at the Jay Leno show, and we'll have a really good time.
Excellent.
Thanks for your support. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Good, and the number to call in if you did want to call into the show is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. And let's go ahead to, and guys, also keep in mind that this is beta software and I am learning it as I go. This is on the fly as I go, seat of my pants journalism here. I'm sure it's all going to get smoothed out over time. So the next piece I have for you is a piece that was done, I'm not 100% sure about this, but the same people who did the Ron Paul print mosaic ad, and I believe that would be Lord Czar and his political action committee, I believe they put this commercial together. So here's another privately produced commercial in another direction that we might be able to go in with our media. So I'll transition to that for you.
America was founded on an idea.
A constitution.
That set it apart from the rest of the world.
Now,
220 years later,
this constitution is under attack from the very government
entrusted to serve its people.
This is to restore what they fought and died for
over two centuries ago. There's only one real choice.
Ron Paul.
I'm Ron Paul. I am the champion of the Constitution.
The American Liberty Coalition, PAC, is responsible for this communication.
Okay, so that was the American Liberty PAC, and it features the Ron Paul mosaic ad, and another way that we can go with our media. Okay, here we are. Got my picture back. So let's see. What I want to do is go on to the next segment of the show, and... Let's go ahead and view Ron Paul's presentation at the Arab American Institute over the weekend. And this is something that, actually no, let's do this first. Let's go ahead and watch a piece of media from Ron Paul in the news in North Carolina. It's important that we are continuing to get press. And as a matter of fact, there's about a half dozen print press pieces that I want to get to at some point in the show today. So let's go ahead and we'll have a look at that.
most of you at least know a little something about these presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton, Fred Thompson, John Edwards. Do you know this one? You might not recognize his face, but you may recognize his name. Ron Paul campaign signs have appeared on overpasses and some other unusual spots all around Charlotte. We wanted to know who was responsible passes and some other unusual spots. Up for some answers.
Freedom of speech, a distraction, or both? Either way, signs like this one are popping up and disappearing around Charlotte. Right now, Google
the computer.
Ron Paul.
I only know about Google. I don't know Ron Paul. Sorry.
Ron Paul.
Sorry.
Ron Paul and his supporters.
Somebody's got to get the word out about this candidate.
On the streets of Charlotte, Douglas Huban stands his ground.
I take up as much as I can of my lunch hour every single day. We go out on Saturdays. The several hundred people here in Mecklenburg County.
So who's behind the Google Ron Paul signs?
Young people who have been basically disconnected from the political process.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul's campaign is starting to get traction on the streets and online among a lot of Republicans and even some Democrats.
There's a decentralized grassroots campaign. Tens of thousands of people all over America are using the internet. We're going around the mainstream media.
I think the American people are tired of the iron fist approach to their lives.
Paul calls Bush's foreign policy a disaster, and the message is out around Charlotte.
There's more than just the usual suspects to choose from.
A North Carolina DOT spokesperson says that posting signs here is illegal, a road hazard, and will be taken down. Reporting from Charlotte, Carolina.
So, there you have a little piece from South Carolina. And shows, again, the effectiveness of all the work that we do when we go out and put up signs and have banners and sign wavings for Ron Paul. It does have an effect. There's simply no question about it. I don't know if there's any way to monetarily estimate the value of dollar value of what we have done, but I would guesstimate it somewhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars of publicity and promotion done by Ron Paul supporters. So good job. Let's keep that up. Let's go ahead and we're going to have a look at another piece of press from the Iowa Independent newspaper. The Iowa Independent newspaper, but this is a piece of video clip of his interview with them. It's been somewhat edited. It's a nice piece. It's a really nice piece, and it's something that I think we should have a good look at. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you.
What's your first action as president?
First action?
Where you have the most authority is on your commander-in-chief of the people. You're commander-in-chief of the military, and you can design foreign policy, and you could change the world within weeks about just changing attitudes, saying that we're just changing attitudes, saying that we're backing our Navy off. Soviets, you guys aren't any more threatening to me than the Soviets were. And bring the troops home from Iraq. Give them a motivation to start talking to each other. The world would change. I bet oil would drop $20 a barrel. Just because right now it's up to 92. Because of the threat that to me, the higher the oil prices go, I think it's the closer we're getting to the people in the know behind the scenes on that we're getting closer to action against Iran. A true terrorist is a very, very weak person. And we think of them as every place, all over the place, and they're monstrous. And we're so intimidated by the fear that they're able to build up. But they're very, very weak individuals. They don't have a country. They have no political base. And they really don't have an army. That's why they have to use, you know, a bomb here and there or a knife here and there. And they have to create terror. So it is understanding motivation and then a lot of good police work. Not declaring war against a country that had nothing to do with it. We need good policemen. And this is a police activity. I wouldn't send private companies over there at taxpayers' expense, trying to avoid the use of our military. That's what we've drifted into. We've never done it like this. You know, they talk about, what, 150,000, 160,000? But it may be double that. It's probably over 300,000. Nobody they count contractors, but not subcontractors. So there's a, there's a lot of Americans over there. We do well in providing a military defense of this country pretty well. It's the policy of foreign intervention is bad. If you just had limited to defending this country, I would say that nobody can touch us. We should feel perfectly safe, you know, from any country ever invading us, you know, at least in the foreseeable future.
So there is a very interesting piece from the Iowa Independent interview with Congressman Ron Paul this weekend. And there's some really great material in there that if you were making a commercial, you know, you might use some of that. Of course, you have to get permission from the Iowa Independent, but I'm sure that's obtainable, especially if you're going to give credit. You know, I think those are the kinds of things that I think we really need to be looking at in our television commercials. Something more live action, not sitting down in front of a TV. See, what those commercials that we've seen so far have done, the one where Ron Paul is in it, makes him look, he's giving a presentation. Now, Ron is great when he gives a prepared text. It's something that he has written, and it's going into some detail. But it's just not working to sit him down and make him blankly read some lines off of a teleprompter. It takes away the life and the vitality and the energy that that he brings, that is very nice and endearing about Dr. Paul. So I think we need more of the live action stuff. So let's look for that in the design of our television commercials. So now let's go ahead and have a little a look at the Arab American Institute presentation from this weekend. As I understand it, all kinds candidates were invited, and a few Democrat candidates attended, and no other Republican candidates attended the Arab American Institute. I wonder why. You know, it seems that they may have been asked questions that might have made them feel a little bit uncomfortable about their policies towards the Middle East. So, good job, Dr. Paul, in showing up for this important event. And we'll listen to about a 9-minute or so segment of Dr. Paul in Dearborn, Michigan, which is a heavily Arab American area. And without any further ado, Ron Paul, American Institute, Michigan.
Place sanctions on a country. I mean, did the sanctions really help Americans or help the Iraqis after 10 years of sanctions on the Iraqi citizens, where children would die because of the denial of food and drugs? No, that's no way to do it. We should be trading with people. We should be trading with Cuba. I mean, this is a much better approach than saying... But we do not have to be isolationists. That's a false charge when they say, oh, isolationism, we want to withdraw. And I don't want to. Matter of fact, I don't like protectionism. I like trade. I like low tariffs. Tariffs are taxes. We want to trade with the world and talk with the world. And we want to talk to people. If Kennedy could talk to Khrushchev at the height of the Cold War and literally agree that, yes, the Soviets would take the missiles out of Cuba, and we would take the missiles out of Turkey, and guess what? We didn't have a nuclear war. Is that to me sends a message that even with all the misconstruing of what Ahmadinejad has charged, that maybe we can talk to people. I mean, why can't we talk? I think people who can't talk are too weak. They do it from a sense of weakness. There are a lot of things that we must do. I think a change in foreign policy, and just recently I introduced legislation that's called the American Freedom Agenda, which deals with about 10 points about our attack on civil liberties, dealing with our position on the FISA courts, our position on torture, our position on secret prisons, and using testimony that is kept secret, and we don't hear the person or see or know the person who is making the charges, and whether it has to do with torture, habeas corpus, all these things. This bill deals with this, because this is the true undermining of our liberties here at home. And it has been well said that in times of war, that we are more likely to lose our liberty. And there was one individual that Randolph Bourne wrote, "War is the health of the state," and I believe that. And if you don't have a war, sometimes they want to generate the sensation of a war, even if it's a fictitious war. Like, how can you have war against a tactic, and how can it be perpetual? And that's what they're against the tactic, and how can it be perpetual? And that's what they're telling our liberties. And this is all connected to the monetary checks. But when the government still broke, not because our government won't send out the checks, not to attack those who are dependent on the government. Although theoretically I could make the case that it would be much better not to work and have an incentive, with the additional caveat by saying that if you work hard and you earn a good living, you ought to have the right to keep everything you earn, and that, of course, is why I oppose the income tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, even I, who would want to work for a transition, I would say, don't turn anybody out in the street. But what we would have to do is literally change the foreign policy where we could save $100 for all this activity we have overseas. Put some of it toward the deficit and make sure that we take care of the people on government programs. On government programs. That is very precarious, because we as a people have lost our confidence in freedom. We now think that freedom really doesn't work. Freedom doesn't work because there's somebody that's going to fall through the cracks, and we can't trust the people to take care of themselves. So we not only are now encroaching on our freedom of speech, and of course we get involved even in our churches now on what we can say in our churches and synagogues and in our mosques. If you say something political, then you might be held accountable for that. If that is the case, then there's an encroachment on our civil liberties there. But I have never accepted the idea that governments ought to tell us exactly what we should do with our bodies. I don't think governments are good protectors in any way whatsoever. But
go ahead and pause that clip there, because I think that what he has brought forth in that segment of that piece is going to lead into the next segments that I want to talk about. He brings up the war in Iraq and our foreign policy in the Middle East, and he brings up the American Freedom Agenda, which I'm glad that he finally, in a speech, has brought that up. I'm looking for that to be a major sort of weapon in the propaganda war, if you will, that we need to wage. It's a valuable tool, and if you don't yet know about the American Freedom Agenda, please do a Google search for American Freedom Agenda Act, or look back to the 24th and listen to my interview with Bruce Fein, the head of American Freedom Agenda, who drafted that bill together with Dr. Paul. It is a significant attempt to roll back all the or many of the infringements on our constitutional liberties that have been perpetrated by the Bush administration in the last eight years, and a very important tool for us to educate people, and something that we can get behind and show people. If Ron Paul were elected, he would do things like this. You know, as president, he would certainly have the power to simply not enforce a lot of or repeal outright by rescinding executive orders a lot of what Bush has done in his tenure. And now we're faced with the homegrown terrorist and a violent radicalization prevention act, which is making its way through Congress right now. Yet another type of Patriot Act, a Military Commissions Act, this type of legislation, which is severely restricting our constitutional liberties and choking off freedom in this country. And Dr. Paul talks about that and says that, you know, while you were faced now with situations where we might say something political and have to worry about, you know, are we safe to say things like that, and that we have lost a sense of what it means to be free. He talks about our empire, and this is a theme that he is increasingly coming to over and over again. If we cut the empire, we then have the ability to better take care of ourselves here at home, including those who have been made dependent on the social welfare system. So I think that's something really important to a theme to kind of grasp and come back to, in addition to the theme of the American Freedom Agenda. Now, why is this important? We're going to see a very good illustration of why, politically, this is very important in the next clip that I'm going to play for you. Apparently, there was a YouTube video blogger who had a somewhat dark opinion of Dr. Paul at one point and has come around to feeling quite favorable about Dr. Paul. And we're going to play a clip from this gentleman, which I think is a really good example of the effectiveness of the type of politics that Ron Paul and the Ron Paul movement is bringing out. So let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Hi, I'm Davis Fleetwood, and about 2 months ago I made a video very critical of Ron. As you know, I lean way to the left on the political end of the spectrum. As you know, I lean way to the left on the acts of our current administration. So Ron Paul, Republican, seemed to look to me a bit like a stormtrooper approaching with a bouquet of flowers. I was just confused. But if you are an American who counts amongst your flowers, I was just confused. But if you are an American who counts amongst your cherished birthrights the concept of liberty, Ron Paul does indeed ours. Pain and the American Freedom Agenda are now both advancing a 10-point initiative that would roll back many of the attacks on the Constitution waged by the current Bush administration. But Democrats, liberals, I need to tell you, it was Ron Paul, Republican from Texas, who introduced the American Freedom Agenda's 10-point legislative campaign to Congress. The American Freedom Act of 2007, Wood from Texas, who introduced the American Freedom Agenda's 10-point legislative campaign, unprecedented number of presidential signings that have come out of this executive office, essentially placing the president above and beyond the rule of law. Also, and this is most important, it would repeal the Military Commissions Act of 2006. Not familiar with the Military Commissions Act? Well, briefly, passed by Congress in 2006, it empowers the president. Familiar with the Military Commissions Act? Well, briefly, passed by Congress in 2006, it empowers the president, whoever may be president, to identify anyone, hold them there without charging them with any crime, indefinitely. In introducing this legislation, Representative Paul's actions show clearly that his concerns are hold them there without charging them with any crime, indefinitely. In 2006, now repeal it? Well, not if this remains a partisan issue, and that's where those of us on the left. In 2006, now repeal it? Well, not if this remains a partisan issue, and that's where those of us on the left. The commission's at, they run the risk of appearing soft on terror. Commissions Act. They put their tail between their legs. Our elected officials are actually paving the way for future acts of terror. Terror inflicted on members of the U.S. citizenry by their own government. It can happen of the U.S. citizenry by their own government. It can happen here. It is happening here. since September 11th, 2001, of a branch of government to participate in fascist tactics in what liberal writer Naomi Wolf describes as the fascist shift happening in America. Branch of government to participate in fascist tactics. See the end of America as we know it. It means that we have to wake up from our collective nightmare. Liberals working with conservatives, preserving liberty. Period. See the end of America as we know it. It means that we have to wake up of legislation. And I want to thank Representative Paul for bringing it to the floor. The rest of you, call your congressman or congresswoman, a link of legislation. And I want to thank Representative Paul for bringing it to the floor. I'm David Fleetwood, extending an olive branch to Jive Dadson and all the other Ron Paulies out on YouTube. I'm David Fleetwood, extending an olive branch to Jive Dadson and all the other Ron Paulies out on
All right, that should do it. All right, so we have there a young man who previously had a dim view of Dr. Paul from his self-described leftist perspective, and now he's sort of had a come around on Dr. Paul because of the American Freedom Agenda Act, and you know, he traces his development politically there for us so that we get a picture of the psychology of people and how it can develop over time. And I think this is a real good illustration of what Dr. Paul has said, that the freedom message brings people together. The freedom message brings people together. What does the young man in that piece say? Well, liberals, conservatives, and people of all political parties and persuasions working together on the restoration of constitutional republic in this country. So I think that there's just a really living example. He cites Naomi Wolf, who's rather, one might say, left-wing, because you have to put labels on things, you know, to identify them. One might say a somewhat left-wing group called the American Freedom Campaign got together with a somewhat, quote-unquote, right-wing group known as the American Freedom Agenda, which was Bruce Fein's group, to get together on this bill with Dr. Paul. Incidentally, Naomi Wolf, who is a author, who was previously very linked to the Clintons and the Clinton campaign in the Clinton's last election, has come out for the American Freedom Act and will be on this show on Friday. We'll have her interview for about 30 to 40 minutes this coming Friday. So that's a very important political development. And I hope that you'll be here to enjoy the show and ask questions of Naomi Wolf. And another example of just what's happening politically in this country. The freedom message is bringing people together. So let's see. The next thing I would like to play for you is a little piece from Ron Paul in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, Cheyenne, Wyoming is one of the very first primary states, Wyoming. It's, I cannot remember the exact date, but it's an early state. It's a very small population. I believe the entire population of the state is under a million, or I might be confusing that with Montana, but it's very small, very thinly populated. So interesting to see what kind of an effect Ron Paul can have there, and he did have 400 people at this rally, and we'll go ahead and listen to about 8 minutes of Dr. Paul speaking to people this weekend in Wyoming.
The internet has literally created the campaign. So it is. It is the secret weapon that is available today. The message is powerful. I've always been convinced of that. There have been many, many more around the country who knew about the message but have been disenchanted and have not been involved. So often in every crowd, and there may be one or two or three or four here, in politics ever before, and they have joined this campaign. We've had so many. The other night I was talking about a singer that has written many songs. I said he's 60 years old. He brags about his age, and he's a professional singer. He says he's... You know, so often after we have these rallies, others will come up and say, well, this is my first campaign in 62 or 65. Others said, you know, I used to be involved. I have quit about 6 years ago. I haven't been... because it also gives me the energy that I need. I hope I can give you the energy and the incentive to go out and pursue our cause. But literally, you... complain too much about that because literally the debates have been very helpful in spite of some of the shortcomings. Because since the very first debate, we have done quite well. Every time there is a debate, we do well in the post-debate polling, if you haven't noticed. And that is really what has excited the campaign. Even though the time was short, the number of those joining the campaign and sending in money always gets a boost after one of the debates, and then more invitations have come. Like, for instance, now that the campaign is rolling along and the campaign financing is going well, that we've had more invitations. Like on this Tuesday night, I will be on Jay Leno's show, so we're making some inroads. But I always get asked by the media, what is it? Why do they join your campaign? Precisely, what is the issue? And why is it the young people care? They always say, you don't look like the right person that will be attracted to the young people. But that's up to the young people to decide. But the eye thought. Because of the foreign policy. There is no doubt about it. I think a lot of us are very frustrated with it and would like to think about what has been the traditional American foreign policy. What has been the advice from the founding fathers? What has been the tradition of the Republican Party? Has it been to make war or work for peace? It's working for peace is what we're supposed to be doing. We should never be in the position of defending a war that we started. There's something dramatic that has happened to this country, and we have to reverse this. And the very first thing that we can do to reverse this is let's end this war in Iraq and bring our troops home. Instead of weakening our defense, it'll strengthen our defense, because right now we're in a more vulnerable position. We can never accept this slogan that says they want to come here and kill us because we're free and prosperous. That is not the reason they want to come here. It is precisely because we're over there messing around, and we would react the same way. What would we do if the Chinese invaded us? The founders were correct. They've given us no authority in the Constitution for us to be the policemen of the world. They advised us, no entangling alliances. They advised us, don't get involved in the internal affairs of other nations, let alone in the internal civil wars that have gone on. And they also advised, be friends with all countries, even those who are imperfect, sort of like us. You know, we have some imperfection. But trade with people and talk with people, negotiate with people. You know, at the height of the Cold War, I was drafted in 1962 during the Cuban crisis. And that was pretty much the peak of the Cold War. The Soviets had 40,000 nuclear weapons pointed at us. 90 miles.
And what did we do? Did we have to go to nuclear war with the Soviets to neutralize that? No, we stayed firm and we stayed strong. But at the same time, during the Cuban crisis, our president literally talked to Khrushchev and they had an agreement. They said, yes, we'll take the missiles out of Cuba, we'll take the missiles out of Turkey. And the whole thing was settled down and we didn't have to go to war. If we could talk to the Soviets, as did even Ronald Reagan when he was over there saying, on this wall, he was still talking to them. Why can't we talk to the people in this world that don't even have a nuclear weapon? This whole idea that we have to be fearful, intimidated, and accept the notion that there's going to be perpetual war and that we can't even define who the enemy is. Well, it's a war against terrorism. Terrorism is a tactic. It's not a people. You can't declare war against a tactic. But it is very real, and it's very important that we understand why it happens. If you don't understand why it happens, you really can't solve that problem. But, you know, Republican parties, if you look at the 20th century, we have always benefited by being that party that was elected to end the wars. And never have we been involved on and being in the position of defending a war that we have started, and then we wonder why we didn't do well last year. Well, there's a precise reason for that. You know, I was a bit encouraged in the year 2000, and one of the reasons I went back into Congress after having been out for 12 years was the fact that Congress was taken over in 1994 by the Republicans, and they wanted to cut back on big government. But in the year 2000, of course, the foreign policy was high criticism of Clinton. Clinton was in nation building and he was doing things in Bosnia without any congressional approval. So we were condemning this. The president argued that we should have a humble foreign policy, that we should not be involved in nation building. We should not be the policeman in the world. But what have we done? We have done the opposite, and the American people don't like it. So very simply, we need a pro-American, strong national defense foreign policy compatible with our Constitution. One of the big problems that we have once we have supposed to succumb to the pressure by those who are in charge to give up our liberties. We are never made safer, we are never made stronger by yielding. The more we understand the Second Amendment, the safer we will be.
Okay. So it seems like we've got some kind of a. Don't know where this echo is coming from. It just kind of came out of nowhere. We had this. No problem. And now we have a problem. So welcome to. Fun. Okay. Let's see. How are we doing now? Does not appear to be any problem, so let's see. Oh boy. Let's try this again. Test. Okay. Still getting the echo. If I wanted this echo, it would be a really cool effect. But I am not really happy with doing the show like this. So what we're going to go to is to play the show as a radio broadcast for the rest of the broadcast. So turn on your audio players and we'll listen to it rather than watch it for about the next 7 minutes. One other option that you can have here is that you can keep the video on and just listen via the radio. So if you put on your streamer, you can actually watch me and watch the video while listening to the video. So let's go ahead and try that and see how that works. I think this is actually going to work out fine. So, all right, back to where we were. Apologize. This is a revolution in broadcasting, and we're playing around with it to see what works. And let me go ahead and go to the next video clip here for you. So what else did I want to play for you? Wanted to have a look at a piece of Jerome Corsi talking about the North American Union. I'll just play that for you quickly.
Is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Late Great USA, The Coming Merger. Jerome, I want to start with a piece that happened on... Everybody, like you,
so the echo seems to have gone away.
I don't want to believe this, but it looks like it's happening. We've all been called crazy. This is what Vicente Fox said on Larry King Live. Roll the tape.
What we proposed together, President Bush and myself, it's ALCA, which is a trade union for all of the Americas. And everything was running fluently until Hugo Chavez came, and he decided to isolate himself. He decided to combat the idea and destroy the idea. And very unfortunately,
it's going to be like the euro dollar, you mean?
Well, that would be long, long term. I think the process is to go first step into a trading agreement. And then further on, a new vision like we're trying to do with NAFTA.
He says in this interview, Jerome, he's asked, so it would be like the euro dollar? Well, long, long term. I was with one of the country's leading economists having dinner the other night, and I said, what point do you start, and this guy's an optimist, at what point do you start worrying about the dollar? And he said, Glenn, about 6 months ago. He said, it's almost like we're intentionally destroying the dollar.
I agree, Glenn. I mean, I was ready to send Vincente Fox a signed copy of the book and thank him because he validated every major thesis in the late, great USA. We're headed exactly down the path Europe went down, starting with trade agreements, beginning with a coal and steel agreement in Europe 50 years ago, then advancing towards a European common market, the Treaty of Maastricht, the European Union, and 2002, the Euro. We're now going from NAFTA to the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America. Our elite are talking about a North American community. And they've even named our new currency the Amero.
All right. Jerome, you know what so frustrates me is I believe in our Constitution. I think our Constitution was God-inspired. You want another state? Sew another flag on and have people vote for it. This stuff is happening in the cover of night. You've got the NAFTA superhighway that, again, everybody denies. But you've got it broken up in chunks being built right now. It will deliver goods from China right to Mexico through America into Canada. You say this stuff is going to eliminate the middle class. How?
Even the economists supporting the so-called globalism, and it's not free trade. It's not free trade when China has all the advantages in unfair trade agreements. Just take a look at Alan Blinder. He's at Princeton University. He supported NAFTA, got Bill Clinton to sign NAFTA. Blinder now in the Wall Street Journal in March says we're going to lose 40 million jobs in the next 2 decades to China and India with these unfair trade agreements.
All right, Jerome, I know we're out of time. Can I ask you to write a special thing maybe for tomorrow's newsletter on what the case that's being heard in front of the Supreme Court today? It changes everything. Could I ask you to write a few...
Okay, so that was Jerome Corsi, who wrote the book The Late Great America on the Glenn Beck Show. And I was somewhat surprised to see Jerome Corsi on the Glenn Beck Show. The fact that someone like Glenn Beck, who's suddenly had this rebirth as a conservative libertarian, talk about the North American Union, which supposedly doesn't exist, is another sign of the shift politically that's happening in this country as a result of the Ron Paul candidacy and the Ron Paul revolution. We're making that possible for Jerome Corsi to get on the Glenn Beck Show. We're making it necessary for people like Glenn Beck to start to address these issues so that they can keep their conservative label, although we really know what he is. He's a neocon. So the work that we're doing, again, is showing incredible effect and incredible benefit. So we are having an effect. This movement is having an effect in shifting the political debate in the entire climate politically in this country. So I'm going to have to leave you for now for today. Tomorrow, I will be a live special report from NBC Studios as people gather out in front of the NBC Studios for Ron Paul's appearance on The Tonight Show. And we will be seeing Ron Paul arriving, and maybe, who knows, we'll get a few words from Dr. Paul as he goes into the studio for the taping. Afterwards, we'll have a little report. There'll be some video of supporters gathering at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for tickets as well. And so all of that will be brought to you here on this show, live video coverage of Ron Paul in Los Angeles at the Jay Leno Show. On Friday, we have Naomi Wolf, and later on, sometime this week, not sure exactly when, we will have Congressman Paul Brune, Paul Brown, who is a Ron Paul sort of influenced congressman who won a surprise congressional seat a few months ago in a very dramatic way, and we'll go into that for you when we have the congressman on the show. So I hope that you're enjoying this new experience in broadcasting. I understand that there have been some technical difficulties, and please keep in mind that I'm wearing multiple hats here. I'm producing the show live as I present it to you. It's quite challenging, especially when some technical issues arise right in the middle of the show unexpectedly. But thanks for your patience, and it's all going to smooth out, and I'm looking forward to bringing you a live daily update report on the growing Ron Paul revolution and the Ron Paul candidacy and the freedom message. Thanks again for listening and watching, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night.